What makes this night different from every other night? It's because once we were slaves, and we are slaves no more. That's what they say at the annual Jewish Passover feast. And they have said those words for a very, very long time. In fact, that little exchange, question and answer, dates from the days of the Babylonian Talmud, which means that at the Last Supper, that was a Passover feast, the youngest person at table, who would have been St. John, would have asked the question, what makes this night different from every other night? And Jesus himself would have answered, because once we were slaves, and we are slaves no more. Now, it's a historical fact that the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt under the oppression of Pharaoh for 400 years, more than 400 years, and God acted dramatically in history to set them free. But on that first Holy Thursday night, when our Lord said, "We are slaves no more," nobody sitting at table had any idea the depths of the intentions behind every one of his words. Because on that first Holy Thursday night, our Lord did so much more than anyone could have imagined. In fact, it's so astonishing what he did with that Passover feast that you can hardly bring yourself to admit that you believe it. The Passover feast was the annual Jewish celebration by which they remembered all the things that God had done for them down through the ages, setting them free from Pharaoh, leading them through the desert, giving them a promised land. Every year they would celebrate it so that they would never forget. But our Lord did something so astonishing. He did so much more than just remember. He actually made a past event a present reality that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the greatest thing God had ever done with the passion and death and resurrection of Christ is no longer something we just simply remember. A past event becomes a present reality. It's as if time itself fades away. We are there, and he is here. And this happens every time that we say Mass. And why? So that because of the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, we would be slaves no more. Because we used to be slaves to the power of sin and slaves to the power of death. Two forces against which we are powerless, but because of what God has done, we are slaves no more. Welcome to the sacred Triduum. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil. The most sacred time of the entire year. And here's why. It's because what God does in these 3 days tells us more about who God is than everything else that he's ever revealed. I mean, you could take the whole Bible and all of divine revelation, and compared to what we celebrate in these 3 days, the whole of it is nothing more than prelude and postscript. This is our faith. And would you believe that these days are so special that we're not in Lent anymore? Do you know that? Lent is over. These 3 days are like within a class all their own. And you'll notice that I started Mass with the sign of the cross. And when you ordinarily come to Mass, the priest begins with the sign of the cross and he ends with the final blessing and sends you on your way. But there's not going to be a final blessing until the end of the Easter Vigil Mass. That's because these 3 days are one great big prayer, one integral whole, to remind us of all that God has done, but more than that, to make the past a present reality so that you might be a slave no longer, slave to sin and a slave to the power of death. Here on this Holy Thursday night, it's the one night of the year in which the church tells the priest what he's supposed to preach on. 3 things: the Eucharist, the priesthood, and our Lord's commandment of charity. We just got finished hearing the story of that first Holy Thursday night in which our Lord washed the feet of his apostles, and when he was finished, he said, "Do you realize what I've done for you? Just as I've washed your feet, so you ought to wash one another's feet. I've given you this model to follow. Because what I have done, you also should do." Question for you here this evening. When our Lord said those words, do you think he was just talking about washing feet? No. In fact, the fathers of the church are unanimous that when our Lord did this on Holy Thursday, what he intended to do was command us to carry out the fullness of all of his teaching on charity. Because washing feet was a particularly noxious task. In fact, it was so distasteful, you couldn't even force a slave to do it. And now this evening, we're going to ceremonially reenact the washing of the feet, okay? And all these guys dressed in white right up front with their meticulously pre-washed feet, okay, are all going to line up right here. But you got to put yourself right back in the days of our Lord. And imagine what it must have been like for those people wearing sandals on those dusty Middle Eastern streets filled with donkeys and goats and everything that comes from donkeys and goats. And the noxious task that he would have asked them to carry out. It's a summary of everything that he asks of us. Because when our Lord gave us his commandments of charity, they're beautiful, but so very noxious to carry out. Beautiful, right? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who mistreat you and bless those who curse you. So beautiful, but please, you first, right? I mean, this is what G.K. Chesterton meant when he said, the Christian faith has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and therefore left untried. And this is what our Lord asks of us, and where are we supposed to find the strength to do it? You know, our faith is a faith of paradoxes. You have to give in order to receive. You have to die in order to rise. But you know the greatest paradox of our faith is that you can't follow the Lord until you first realize that you can't follow him with your own power. Only by his power can you be his follower. And that's why this night the Lord gives us the holy priesthood. On the night before he died, our Lord took a piece of bread and said the blessing, took a cup of wine and said the blessing, and to his apostles he said, "Do this in memory of me." Question for you here this evening. Do what? Do what in memory of him? Carry out the Eucharist, that's what. And we believe that when God gives us a commandment, he gives us everything we need to carry out that commandment. And that's why we say that on this Holy Thursday night, our Lord gave his apostles the ability to carry out that commandment. He instituted the holy priesthood so that his blessings could be present down through the ages. Because what is a priest? Here's a 10-second catechesis on the priesthood. What is a priest? A priest is a mediator between God and man, who brings about a union between God and man by means of sacrifice. How many priests are there in the world? You know how many priests there are in the world? It's about 415,000 priests in the world. You make up a decent-sized city if you put us all in one place. But did you know that it's de fide definita teaching of the Catholic Church that in spite of the number of Catholic priests that there are roaming the seven seas and all the continents of the world, there's only one priest? Jesus Christ is the only priest. He's the only one who's a mediator between God and man because he is God and man. He's the only one who brings about a union between God and man by means of sacrifice because he offers his own sacrifice to bring it about. And this is what we believe about the priesthood, that he gives to frail souls like myself his own power to act in his name. You know, you come to Mass and you hear the priest say, "This is my body, this is my blood." And you're going to hear me say those words in just a few minutes right here from this altar. It's my voice you're going to hear, but those aren't my words. Those are Christ's words. And he speaks through me, and for what purpose? For your benefit. That a past event of what he did on the cross will become a present reality for you right now. That's the nature of the priesthood. And you know, here's one thing you almost have to be a priest to understand. People instinctively consider the priest to be their own private property. Really. You have to be a priest to see this. Like I was at a past parish, not this one, okay? Past parish, and the bishop came for confirmation. And this one rather intrepid elderly lady stormed right up to the bishop and he said, listen here, bishop, he belongs to us, so hands off. It's on private property. Why do people think that? Because they know that God's own grace is what belongs to them, and that comes to them by means of the priesthood. It's a very strange gift, the priesthood is. Very strange gift. Almost every other gift in the world is given to you and it's yours to keep. But the priesthood isn't like that at all. It's a gift that's given not for the recipient, but for the benefit of everybody else through the recipient. And the greatest gift that comes to us from the priesthood that we celebrate this Holy Thursday night is the gift of the Blessed Sacrament, which is nothing less than Jesus himself. Probably the greatest catechesis I ever heard on the Blessed Sacrament I heard from a Protestant sermon. Protestant sermon, he's getting up there preaching and he's trying to talk about the Catholic Church and what they believe about the Eucharist. And he says, you know those Catholics believe about the Blessed Sacrament? What they believe that, pointing to the host, they believe that is actually him. And I thought to myself, yeah, exactly, that's exactly right. We believe that is actually him. You've heard this said before, do this in memory of me. But consider what those words might have meant to the person who was about to die the next day. I mean, if you could choose how you would be remembered after you were gone, among your friends, among those you love the most, how would you choose to be remembered? Well, I can tell you what you wouldn't choose, right? I can tell you what you wouldn't choose. You wouldn't want everyone to sit around and think about you in quiet melancholy. You'd want something that of what you were to be made real and to be made present. Well, God can be remembered any way he wants. And what he gives us, the most astonishing thing, is the gift of his very self. And when I used to teach this to my high school students, I had to attack it from about 17 different angles before they'd finally get it. And they'd say, oh, I get it. Jesus is spiritually present in the bread. And I'd say, no, it isn't bread anymore. And they'd say, oh, no, I understand. Jesus is mystically there in the wine. And I'd say, no, it's no longer wine. Bread ceases to be bread. Wine ceases to be wine. And what's left is nothing other than Jesus himself. And then there'd be like this eureka moment, and they'd say, hey, you're crazy. And I'd say, well, if I'm crazy, then Jesus is crazy because it was his idea. But this is the Blessed Sacrament. The greatest thing you could ever imagine and the last thing you'd ever expect. Our Lord loves us so much that he never wanted to leave us. This is Holy Thursday. Our Lord gathers his friends and leaves them with one last greatest commandment. He continues his work and institutes the holy priesthood. And he gives us the gift of himself, the Eucharist, his real presence until the end of time. This is Holy Thursday. Blessed are they. Blessed are we who are called to the supper of the Lamb.